Lady Gaul didn't give many orders. From what Jesper could make out, all she did was point, and soldiers and sailors sped about. At each huge cannon, a dozen burly sailors had stacks of ammunition, things to stuff the gunpowder in with and burning braziers to light the fuses. Jasper's heart was sore at the thought of the young Dragon Eagle. "Please be safe," he whispered. The door crashed open. Two sailors pushed Beatrix and Crispin Kent inside. One of the soldiers entered too and stayed, very official, his back against the door and his hands behind him. The hounds scudded on after the travelling restaurant, and the view through the porthole grew worse and worse. The first shot fired. Sibylla let out a cry. The next minute clamoured with shouts and orders, the boom of cannon, the laughing shrieks of Lady Gaul as splinters flew from the hull of the restaurant. Jasper snatched up the telescope and glimpsed Polly dashing to the wheelhouse. Dr. Rocket seemed to have collapsed over the wheel. Polly grabbed hold of it. Cannon continued to fire, cannonballs to splash around the restaurant. "Please," Jasper thought with all his might, "please, Dragon Eagle, find the strength to carry Polly and Dr. Rocket on, please." Wind filled the restaurant's tattered sails, and she moved out of the line of fire. For an hour the hound pursued. For an hour the restaurant swung out of range again and again. It was an agony to watch. Jasper knew the Dragon Eagle, with its failing energy, its frail young store of magic, was trying its best. The soldier, Crispin Kent and Beatrix tried to see through the porthole and jostled for the telescope. A sob blocked Jasper's throat. He picked Sibylla up and hid his face so the others wouldn't see him weep. He had to get as far as possible from the sound of the hound's cruel hunt. He tried the handle of the door. Unlocked. Into the corridor and down he went with Sibylla, past the grand staircases and formal areas. Then down a dark passageway he heard Lady Gaul's voice. He shuddered. He laid a finger over his sister's lips and hunched in the darkness.
"You will obey me," said Lady Gaul's syrupy voice.
A voice that was no voice gave a great sigh. It meant, "I will not."
"I have sheltered you for 7 years."
"You have kept me in darkness," said the voice. "It was your fault that I was wounded."
"You've been able to grow stronger. You owe me gratitude."
"You ruined my home and you blamed others. You blamed the young scientist for leaving the experiment unguarded. You blamed the dead children for knocking over the experiment when it was you who set it up and did the deed."
"And I will be queen."
"You are not the true monarch. You have no magic.
You owe me thanks for giving you shelter, and I command you."
There was silence. Lady Gaul gave a small, triumphant laugh.
"You cannot refuse, because I have this."
There was a rustling sound, then a faint clink of metal as she showed something she must have had hidden to the owner of the great voice. There was a sigh, like leaves in a forest when a bird descends upon a branch.
"Thank you. So you will obey. You've gained enough strength to perform the very small task I ask of you. The rebels must die. Crush the travelling restaurant entirely."
A dim light appeared beneath a heavy door. It opened, and out Lady Gaul glided with a lantern. She doused the light, swept past Jasper and Sibylla, and disappeared to the upper decks. Jasper held his little sister in the dark. So Lady Gaul, who called magic the great nonsense, had her own secret creature. And she had caused the great accident. She had blamed his father and grandfather. She'd ruined the lake herself and blamed the dead children. No wonder she became provisional monarch. She'd cheated all along. It was lies, more lies, and wicked cheating. Sibylla wriggled in his arms. In the dim light, she pointed at the heavy door. Should Jasper do what Sibylla wanted or hurry her to safety? But where would she ever be safe? Once Lady Gaul was queen, she wouldn't let Jasper, Sibylla, or their parents live longer than a day. Jasper stepped forward and gave a little knock. Excuse me? There was a pause in the powerful breathing. Jasper took that as a sign he could enter the creature's lair. Holding Sibylla, he stepped in. The belly of the excellent hound was a huge dark cavern. The only light came from a cold green eye and a green glow in the shape of a coronet. Please, if you crush the restaurant, you'll kill it, Jasper said. Kill what? The creature asked.
Bird,
said Sibylla. Birds can fly away. I cannot, until the monarch has a crown.
I'm very sorry, said Jasper. I'm sorry for anyone who has to do what Lady Gaul demands.
She bowed to me, the creature said. Jasper realized the rustling sound had been Lady Gaul curtsying to the creature. He was astonished. She didn't usually show respect to anyone or anything unless she got something out of it. And she showed me that she owns this. In front of the creature, just visible in the shadows on the floor, glinted the dagger.
Actually, Jasper said, she took that from me. It was my uncle's. Now it probably belongs to my little sister. You see, here's the scabbard on my belt.
Suddenly, he knew what he had to do. He set his sister down. Copy me, Sibylla, he said. Then he put his hand over his heart and bowed. The most courteous bow he could manage.
Please, do not chase the ship where my aunt and grandfather are in trouble. They're good people. Please do not make them die. Please, show mercy.
He glanced at Sibylla. Could she manage it? She was only two. But up came her hand over her heart. She looked at the terrible creature, and with her other hand pointed to its glowing coronet.
Please, please, please.
Then she took a step towards the creature. Before Jasper could stop her, she reached out and stroked its great scale-feathered paw.
No, sad, she said.
The frightening light in the creature's eyes became warmer, silvery gold. Jasper saw more clearly. Slowly it dipped its head, and the cold, glowing green seemed to flow like wax from a candle from its crest of feathers, down its silver-feathered neck to the floor of the hold, and through cracks in the boards. The cold green light disappeared. Its curved beak moved as if the great creature smiled. Take your princely sign. Jasper took up the dagger. Let me see you wear it. Jasper slid the dagger into its scabbard and bowed again. He tried to back out with Sibylla, but she tugged free, looked up smiling at the giant creature, and touched its paw again.
Two birds.
One warm green eye opened. The dragon eagle raised its head. It let out a long sigh that made the whole ship shudder. Jasper whisked up Sibylla and ran. Nobody had missed them. Not that it mattered. Lady Gaul shouted in her sickly, cold voice that after the wedding, everybody, crew and prisoners, would be punished. She had wanted the restaurant wrecked, not simply captured. In the meantime, could they kindly lash the restaurant to the hound with the stoutest of ropes and sail direct to the Eastern Isle? The wedding was tomorrow. Next morning, as soon as the excellent hound reached shore, soldiers hustled Jasper, Sibylla, and Beatrix onto the deck. The restaurant was moored behind her. Another troop of soldiers was wrestling Dr. Rocket and Polly down the gangplank. Soldiers rushed him along the pier towards a fine brick building. They dragged him through a spacious entrance hall and down a flight of steps into the dungeons. A jailer unlocked a door and thrust him through. Beatrix and Sibylla followed in a tumble. Jasper had a moment to think, "I still have the dagger," before he heard his mother gasp. It was wonderful to have her hug him. It was wonderful to have her fold Sibylla in her arms and stroke her tuft of hair. Wonderful to hear her say, "Jasper, I missed you both so much, I thought my heart would shrink to nothing." It was good, too, to have his father hug him until his ribs almost cracked and say, "Oh, we're in a mess, my dear son. I'm sorry. But at least we're all together." By now, Jasper could see in the gloom. He introduced Beatrix to his parents. Large boots tramped along the corridor. The door crashed open, and Polly and Dr. Rocket were shoved in. The door banged shut. Dr. Rocket had a bandage around his head. Polly's arm was in a sling. There were more hugs. Jasper cleared his throat and spoke to his father. "There's an awful lot you didn't tell me. Will the wedding or the coronation be first?" Lady Helen asked. Polly moaned and burst into tears. Dr. Ludlow thrust both hands into his hair and gave a tug. "Oh, poor Trump. As soon as Lady Gaul has married him, she'll feed the useless wretch to the unlucky fishes." A shaky voice spoke out of nowhere.
"Do you mind? Choose your words carefully."
"Trump?" Polly rushed to the wall and pressed an ear against it. "Trump!"
"I'm in the next cell. Polly, it's too late to say I'm sorry."
Polly sniffed hard and slapped the wall. "Well, say it anyway."
"Sorry," Trump said. "We all get things wrong sometimes."
"I suppose it's all right to hope," said Jasper. "Captain, listen. On the Hound, Sibylla and I..." And he whispered all about the second dragon eagle. Dr. Rocket smiled with a finger to his lips. He edged the side of Jasper's jacket up and gave a small nod when he saw the dagger and scabbard.
"My boy, the less said at this moment, the better."
"Aye, aye, Grandad," Jasper answered.